Shalom, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my wonderful partner and minister of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford, who will be speaking in a minute. But first, let's ask God for His blessing on tonight's program, and also for you. Abba, Father, we praise, honor, and give you all the glory. We beseech you in the name of Jesus to heal your precious saints who might be listening right now of any sickness. We truly express our gratitude for your multitude of many answered prayers and blessings. May those who truly love you find extra favor in your eyes during the season of Teshuvah, especially to stand firm against the evil one. We claim healings for all substance addictions afflicting our loved ones, and may the heart of any backslider recognize and passionately embrace you once again. Be with us as we study your word, and bless with abundance those who set aside this time of Bible study to grow in you. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. And thanks for joining us on this first night of the 40 days of introspection called Teshuvah. And that has been our topic of study for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, but you know, it's a very important time on God's calendar.
For sure. And we have been seeing how God often uses this time to warn, correct, and even reward.
Yeah, how about a little review?
Okay, but first, a little bit of news. What do you think?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, well, the solar eclipse yesterday was, to many, a signal that the next 40 days may be remarkable. Time will, of course, reveal that, but it does feel pretty chaotic already.
Yes, it's in the air, especially in Washington.
Well, that's right. And by now, most have heard the top story over the weekend.
The latest vacancy to the White House, his chief strategist, Steve Bannon.
Yes, he did resign from the White House and from his good friend, President Trump. After many surmise, President was pressured into making that happen. His own daughter and son-in-law, Jared, being two of them, along with the new chief of staff, John Kelly, who says more might be coming. And we are all pretty sad, but there are many who say that he can do more from the outside. I pray that's true, but again, time will tell.
Many said he was President Trump's real think tank.
Mm-hmm. And a key member of his general election campaign,
mm-hmm.
who was formerly employed, if you didn't already know, as editor-in-chief at the conservative news website, Breitbart.com. And so, now, Bannon has returned to hold the executive chair.
There is more info on this in our latest newsletter that went out on Saturday.
That's right, and it's also up on our webpage right now. But let's just say he did not get along with all the leftists that are in the White House. The swamp is there. So pray our president doesn't give in any more than he did last night into the globalist agenda, and that Bannon will still be an influence, even if it's behind the scenes.
Yeah, and any comments on President's first prime time address last night?
Well, as I said, he gave in. He has now changed his mind about our military staying in Afghanistan, even though he campaigned heavily that we would get out, and that's what his base was really expecting. But just like Obama, he decided after listening to the globalists who always want war, has now decided to stay there. And although he wasn't specific about adding more troops, the consensus is that he almost has to. But let me say this. When you see the rhinos like Lindsey Graham hailing and congratulating the president, you know it's not in America's best interests. And by the way, he never mentioned Iran, who's Afghanistan's western neighbor, or that Russia is heavily funding the Taliban in nuclear Pakistan, supposedly to help them fight ISIS. Also, He said that we might have to have some political dialogue with the Taliban. But then again, in the same breath, he mentioned India to possibly help, who, by the way, are Pakistan's utmost, worst enemy. That's almost like an oxymoron statement.
Yeah, I think this is why Bannon left. Yeah, he knew what was coming.
Oh, absolutely. It's just sad.
Anything about Israel?
Well, Netanyahu arrives in Russia tomorrow to discuss Iran's continued footprint in Syria, which is uppermost on his mind, of course. And our high-level negotiating team, headed by President Trump's son-in-law, senior advisor, and globalist, Jared Kushner. Well, he's heading to the Middle East this week as well. Bibi, or perhaps someone else at some point, will soon have to give in to the globalists too.
The handwriting's on the wall, so to speak.
Well, actually, it's in the book.
Mm-hmm.
LOL.
Yes, it is.
Honey, can you tell our new listeners how they can quite easily connect with us?
Yes. You can send end time question by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or just call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio. Your love offerings are much appreciated and will automatically put you on our mailing list for our newsletters and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and informative letters are archived for your added learning.
And two dates to mark on your calendars, September 1st, Friday, at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland, Ohio, and on Thursday, September 7th, in Mentor, Ohio, at Lakeshore Assembly of God. We'll be talking on the fall feasts, of course, actually, the appointments of the Lord. So, all right then. We've been talking about the 40-day season of Teshuvah that began tonight.
And if you missed the last two programs, they're up on shofarministries.net.
Yes, you should really take advantage of that. But essentially, Teshuvah is a time for deep reflection and repentance. Not so much for sins of commission, because as true Christians, we should be repenting for those on a daily basis. But Teshuvah is a time to reflect on your sins of omission.
Yeah, you know, the bottom line, it's for not spending enough personal time with Jesus. You know, we should do, what, 2.4 hours a day?
We should.
10%.
Our tithe your time, that's right. Our Jewish forefathers, and remember, we have been grafted into that root. Hello? Well, they proclaim that the highest form of worship is the study of God's word. You know, in prayer, we speak to God, but through his word, he speaks to us. It's his love letter to his children. And now, because of Yeshua, it's our marriage contract given to us out of the purest form of agape love.
Yeah, on the Hebrew calendar, it's the first day of the sixth month called Elul.
That's right. and that was today at sundown. And as an awesome prelude, we saw an eclipse of the sun yesterday. That, again, could also be a sign that the next 40 days till September 30th might just be extra remarkable.
Yeah, I'm thinking that might be true.
Well, Teshuvah does always come the month before the possible resurrection / rapture, for obvious reasons. It's like a warning time, and we have been looking at examples of how God has often chosen this season to either reprimand his people or, on occasion, reward their repentance, as in the story of Nineveh, and 10 days before Yom Kippur is Rosh Hashanah, or Feast of Trumpets.
And we'll be talking a lot more on that next month.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, beginning September 12th. Anyhow, we have already given examples of how God used this season to reveal the importance of Teshuvah, as in Moses on the mountain the second time, remember, to ask for atonement for the golden calf incident?
And how Jesus went to the wilderness to prepare for his ministry during the 40 days of Teshuva.
That's right. And we saw how God corrected his people for caring more about themselves than him in the book of Haggai. And in Joel 1, with the swarms of locust plague, was at the time of the new wine, so also during Teshuva. And the handwriting on the wall in Daniel 5, we know from history that Babylon fell in the beginning of October, 539 BC. So I checked with the Hebrew calendar, which you can do now, and saw that it was also at the end of Teshuvah that year, probably on Yom Kippur. And don't forget, 9/11 happened during this season as well.
That's pretty remarkable stuff.
It really is. And there are those that think it's time for America to receive some more correction for the gross immorality, greed, and corruption that is now rampant. Now, tonight we are going to look at Ezekiel 8 and 9. And if you listen to last week's program, I suggested that you read it because it's most remarkable. It is a typology of the book of Revelation. You got the reason why, the protection of a few, and then the judgment. So, if you can open your Bibles and read along with me as I detail these scriptures. But remember, Ezekiel was already in Babylon as part of the first exile when he received his visions. God is telling him why he still has to judge those left in Jerusalem. Chapters 8 and 9, as I just said, are also typological scriptures of the future judgment as we see important similarities in the book of Revelation. Okay, if you're there, Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 1. And it came to pass in the sixth year. Now let me stop right there. In the sixth year would be after Ezekiel's calling to serve God. And this is also a type of, after 6,000 years from Adam, then judgment will begin right after the resurrection / rapture of the righteous. Now, this can also mean 6,000 from the time of Adam's sin. We're not sure how God is doing that. So really no one knows but God how long it's going to be. So continuing in verse 1. Then in the sixth month, on the fifth day of the month, and again, the sixth month is always Elul, when Teshuvah begins. So, this was 5 days into it. And it continues, he says, as I, that's Ezekiel speaking, sat in my house with the elders of Judah. Okay, the elders here are the ones that had also been captured and now in Babylon. And they were sitting before me, and that the hand of the Lord God fell upon me there. Verse 2. Then I looked, and there was a likeness, like the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his waist and downward, fire, and from his waist upward, like the appearance of brightness, like the color of amber. Wow. That's similar to John's vision in Revelation 1. Verse 3. He stretched out the form of a hand and took me by a lock of my hair, and the Spirit lifted me up between earth and heaven and brought me in visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the north gate, or actually it should say opening. The word is 8179, Shehar, and it's not necessarily a gate. There was an opening on the north side, and we'll talk about that more in a minute. And this was of the inner court where the seat of the image of jealousy was, which provokes to jealousy. Now let me comment here. Obviously, the image is a pagan idol that really makes God jealous. Verse 4. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, like the vision that I saw in the plain. Okay, now that was a form of a previous visitation recorded in chapter 3. Then he said to me, Son of man, lift your eyes now toward the north. So I lifted my eyes toward the north, and there, north of the altar gate, was the image of jealousy in the entrance. Okay, let me comment on this. This was a pagan altar built off and dug out from the north side of the temple by the wicked King Ahaz, as recorded in 2 Kings 16. So they actually dug out an area on the north side, and we'll see in verses, next couple of verses, that they actually were hiding in there. But let's go to verse 6. Furthermore, he said to me, Son of man, do you see what they are doing? The great abominations that the house of Israel commits here to make me go far away from my sanctuary? Now turn again, you will see greater abominations. So he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, there was a hole in the wall. Then he said to me, Son of man, you dig into that wall. And when I dug into the wall, there was a door. Verse 9, and he said to me, Go in and see the wicked abominations which they are doing there. So I went in and saw, and there, every sort of creeping thing, abominable beasts. And of course, in Egypt, they would worship animals and things. And he goes on, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed all around on the walls. And there stood before them 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel. And in the midst stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan. Now let me add here, that it's interesting that scripture points this out, because Shaphan, he was righteous. But his son, or more likely his grandson, because they don't differentiate in scripture between son and grandson. But he was clearly wicked. And we know this from Ezekiel 11, verse 1. Okay, let's continue in verse 11. Each man had a censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. So basically they were burning incense to an idol god. Verse 12. Then he said, Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the room of his idols? For they say, The Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land. Well, we know that Jerusalem was close to ruins, but more destruction would soon be coming. Verse 13. And he said to me, Turn again, and you will see greater abominations that they are doing. So he brought me to the door of the north gate, and that's that opening where they dug the hole in the Lord's house. And to my dismay, women were sitting there weeping for Tammuz. Now, Tammuz was a demigod, and there are different legends about him, but he died, and the women believed that their tears would resurrect him. So again, God is telling Ezekiel why he had to totally judge those still remaining in Jerusalem. For Ezekiel had already taken captive in Nebuchadnezzar's first aggression. Then, more would be captured later, but here's the kicker. They knew what Nebuchadnezzar had already done, yet they still sinned, and quite grievously. Amazing. Verse 15, Then he said to me, Have you seen this, O son of man? Turn again, you will see greater abominations than these. So he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and there, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east. They were worshiping the sun toward the east. And he said to me, Have you seen this, O son of man? Is it a trivial thing to the house of Judah to commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence. Then they have returned to provoke me to anger. Indeed, they put the branch to their nose. Now, let me comment here. This was a cedar branch, and they would burn it, and it would be burnt to this demigod, Tammuz. And then they would inhale the smoke into their nostrils. And believe it or not, apparently they entered into a state of euphoria that made them feel very powerful. So I guess it was like a drug. Then verse 18. He says, Therefore I will act in fury. My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, I will not hear them. So, now we'll see the final destruction of Jerusalem, and most will be captured, only a few left to watch over the land. And we go into chapter 9, verse 1. Then he called out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, "Let those who have charge over the city draw near, each with a deadly weapon in his hand." And suddenly, six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his battle axe in his hand. One man among them was clothed with linen and had a writer's inkhorn at his side. They went in and stood beside the bronze altar. Now, you might recognize this. This is a theophany of Jesus, as Daniel saw in chapter 10 and chapter 12. Now, the glory of God of Israel had gone up from the cherub where it had been to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed with linen who had the writer's inkhorn at his side. And the Lord said to him, this is Yahweh, by the way, "Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done with it." So these would be the righteous. And let me comment further that this is definitely a type of the 144,000 in Revelation 7, who, upon salvation as a group, right after we leave, also receive a seal of protection from the coming judgment. Now here, the Hebrew word for mark, if you look it up, is tav. And that is the last initial of Jesus and God. Remember, he is the Aleph and the Tav, the first and the last letters of the Hebrew alphabet, to encompass all the letters in his word, the scriptures. What really is interesting is that there is a picture associated with each Hebrew letter, and the ancient picture for the Tav, well, it's a cross. So they got a cross on their forehead for protection. I assume that will be the seal of the 144,000 as well. Unless it's a sheen for the Almighty. That's God's initial. But we must hurry and let's continue. "To the others he said in my hearing, 'Go after him through the city and kill. Do not let your eyes spare nor have any pity. Utterly slay old and young men, maidens and little children and women, but do not come near anyone on whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary.' So they began with the elders who were before the temple. Then he said to them, 'Defile the temple and fill the courts with the slain. Go out.' And they went out and killed in the city. So it was that while they were killing them, I was left alone, and I fell on my face and cried out and said, 'O Lord God, will you destroy all the remnant of Israel in pouring out your fury on Jerusalem?'" Well, of course, we know that he didn't, because some had the mark. Finishing up here, "Then he said to me, 'The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great, and the land is full of bloodshed, and the city full of perversity. For they say, the Lord has forsaken the land, and the Lord does not see. And as for me also, my eye will neither spare nor will I have pity, but I will recompense their deeds on their own head.' Just then the man clothed with linen who had the inkhorn at his side reported back and said, 'I have done as you commanded.'" Oh, people, don't wait till the last minute. We're in that season now. This year could be the rapture. Accept the Lord in your heart. Get on your knees right now during this season of Teshuvah. And you better hurry. I'll leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you that peace, that real shalom. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And keep looking up. Godspeed to you, and know that you are loved.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address: Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address. Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.